From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up in forums next hour, former Miami Herald columnist and Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Dave Barry will join us and talk about his latest book, which is all about his home state of Florida. The author of many best-selling books, including You Can Date Boys When You're 40 and I'll Mature When I'm Dead, he joins us for the hour to discuss Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. And we'll talk with him about the hanging chads of 2000, the swamplands and strip clubs, gators and mermaids, and why people are always asking him what the hell is wrong with Florida. After this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's forum program. Ah, Florida. Well, home to 167 trillion mosquitoes, tourists with sunburned skin the color of Hawaiian punch, and retired grandparents with very long nose hairs. That's according to humorist Dave Barry, who knows a thing or two about Florida after living 30-plus years in the once called and perhaps still called Sunshine State. Pulitzer Prize-winning author and former Miami Herald columnist both lauds and lovingly mocks his home state in his new book, Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. And we welcome Dave Barry back to the forum program, and so pleased to have you with us once again.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Well, let's talk about your home state. What the hell is wrong with Florida was the question you really began with and framed a lot of this with, because you get it a lot, and people from Florida get it, or who live there a lot, or just hear the news, right?
Yeah. Florida became sort of the punchline state in the – I trace it to the 2000 presidential election. Before that, I mean, I would say California was up there. Maybe Texas, but maybe New Jersey. But Florida took the lead and held it after the 2000 presidential election when we lived up to our official state motto of Florida. You can't spell it without duh, because we were every other state, I'm sure you recall, was able to figure out pretty quickly whom it had voted for president of the United States. And this proved to be baffling to Florida. And on that election night, initially they said Gore won the state. Then they said Bush won the state. Then they went back to the Gore won the state. And briefly, William Shatner was leading. And we had those weeks of the hanging chads. And Florida became the whipping boy. Every late night comic started teeing off on Florida. And it stuck. And it's been that way ever since.
Well, you know what else is that way is my hometown of Cleveland. And you even say at one point, you talk about LeBron James being perhaps the most famous thing that Florida was known about for quite some time.
Well, I said he was the highest point in Florida was LeBron James.
And then you say, but then he moved back to Cleveland. And for God's sakes, Cleveland.
I was in Cleveland this summer for the I went to both conventions. I was at the Republican convention in Cleveland. And it has cleaned up its act. Cleveland's actually a pretty nice city. I mean, I don't know. You're looking very doubtful over
there. No, no. It's nice to hear you say that. But
Did you have something to do with that, or you've been here the whole time?
I will keep my involvement in Cleveland, the betterment of Cleveland, secret for the now. Actually, you know, you talk about it. Florida's stupid and it's weird, and then at the same time, you really express your love for it. But comparing it to other states, you say, you know, you mentioned Illinois with all the governors in jail. You say it's corrupt like all these other states, and it's incompetent as far as its government's concerned.
But, well, no, that's one of the selling – I'm trying to point the positive aspects of Florida. We have very low taxes in Florida.
That's what I was getting to.
For those low taxes, we get what kind of government? It's corrupt and incompetent, yes. But – so does California, New Jersey, New York, Illinois. These states have very high taxes and incompetent, corrupt government. So I'm saying come to Florida, you get the same government for way less money.
And you take us not only through a kind of travelogue here, you take us to many unusual places, which I want to talk to you about here. Some good journalistic work, by the way. But these places and your book, writing this book, made you love Florida even more.
Yeah. The first part of the book is a defense of the state, sort of tongue-in-cheek, you know, the history of this state. But most of the book is a travelogue of places in Florida that most people have never heard of or been to. And I asked a bunch of friends of mine who are longtime Floridians, most of them journalists, who covered the state, you know, what are the interesting places in Florida that people don't know about? And that became most of the book, going to these places, spending a few days, and then writing about them.
Yeah, you were talking about Florida history. I didn't realize that the explorers came there looking for spring break. But until I read Dave Barry, those are facts that I come across. I come across all kinds of fascinating facts. Let me give a couple. Under Florida's Stand Your Ground law, it is legal to shoot anybody for any reason as long as you are standing on the ground, which is certainly true. Currently, the number one industry in Florida is attorneys on billboards asking if you have been in an accident, followed by tourism, reptile sales, and buttocks enhancement.
I got to say, reptile sales, if you – I have never – I grew up in the Northeast. And, you know, we had pizza parlors, we had but we didn't have reptile stores. In Florida, it's like Starbucks. If you need a reptile, it's never going to be more than a few yards away. There's going to be a store selling snakes, whatever. I don't know what the demand is because there's plenty of them wandering around my lawn. You know, I don't know why we need to go to a store to buy them. But we have them all over the place.
My great aunt used to go to Florida and sent me a couple times caimans, or actually sent them to me and my brother, you know, which are small alligators.
Sent those to Cleveland, did they?
Sent them to Cleveland, yeah. And
they immediately died in the burning river.
Well, see, there's how Cleveland got its reputation, that Cuyahoga River, the only river to set on fire. I'm going to ask you to read, and I want all of our listenership to hear this, because Dave says in his book, the nation informed a negative stereotyped image of Florida as being a subtropical festival of stupid. From then on, every time anything stupid happened here, that is Florida, America rolled its national eyeballs and went, there goes Florida again. So journalists made a career chronicling this, according to you, and somebody started a popular Twitter account called Florida Man. Now, would you be kind enough to read some of these?
Yeah, Florida these are Man? All – Florida Man is a very, very popular internet site, and it's all true. These are all stories that – and I'll just read a few here. Florida man seen firing musket at cars while dressed as pirate. Florida man poses as Superman on side of road while pantless urinating. Florida man sets home on fire with bomb made from bowling ball. Florida man seen trying to sell live shark in grocery store parking lot. Florida man slashes 88-year-old woman's tires with ice pick for sitting in his favorite bingo seat. Knife-wielding Florida man tries to rescue imaginary girlfriend from garbage truck. Florida man says he danced on patrol car in order to escape vampires, and so on and so on. And
where are the Florida women?
They are Florida women. And this is – you're leading me right into one of my main points. Yes, these things happen. Yes, these people do these things in the state of Florida. But – when we analyze where these people are from, we discover it's not really totally Florida's fault. And my favorite example that involves a woman, one of the most viral of all the Florida person stories, involved a woman who was traveling on the south on the Overseas Highway, which is the highway that connects the mainland to Key West. It's a beautiful drive. So according to the police report that was later filed on this incident, she was going to see her boyfriend in Key West.
And with her husband?
Well, wait a minute. Don't give away.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're
going to have to learn how to do radio, Michael.
It's taken me 23 years and I still haven't.
Anyway, so she's eager to see her boyfriend in Key West, and she wants to shave her bikini region. According to the police report. Now, a lot of people would pull over to the side of the road to take care of that.
Yes.
This woman chose to continue driving while shaving and operating accelerated, but she outsourced the steering to her passenger, who because, of course, this is a Florida story, was her ex-husband. So they're driving south. He's steering and watching the road, presumably. She's not watching the road. She's just operating accelerator. What could possibly go wrong, right? One in a million chance, the car in front of them slows down. And you know, she doesn't see this, so they slam into the car in front of them. But my point here is – and that story became international news. Oh, can you believe Florida? This woman shaving herself. That woman was from Indiana. And that's my point. A lot of these Florida man and Florida woman stories involve people not from Florida. So we get the blame, but it's your people doing it. We're like – Ellis Island for stupid and weird people. You know, they come and commit their acts of weirdness in Florida.
And you can learn the etymology of Hoosier if you read Dave's book, too, by the way.
That's what she was shaving. But no, I'm just kidding.
You can learn about the number of teeth that people in Kentucky have. That may be a problem if you ever cross the border of Kentucky. But I keep thinking about Carl Hiaasen's stories, too. They're fictional. But the reality of this is that you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you know, Philip Roth essay about how the imagination is dwarfed by real life. And these are stories that Hyacin, I think the last time he was on, was talking about a police report. There was some noise coming from a trailer. It was a man actually having relations with an alligator.
With an alligator,
you know,
yeah,
that story.
It was a consenting alligator. Yeah, but as Carl is the master of the Florida book. But as Carl has often said, you make up the most depraved, debauched thing you can think of, and the next day you'll read in the Miami Herald something worse actually happens. It's very difficult to get ahead of reality in Florida.
Well, you went on an odyssey here, and I want to talk about some of the places you visited in Florida, which are sui generis. There are no places like this anywhere else on the whole planet. But before you took your own photos here, too.
I did
when you were up in Idaho, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I brought a camera along and took a bunch of pictures that are in the book.
And they're worth looking at, actually. You got some real stuff here. We'll talk about some of the stuff that you photographed in the course of this hour, and some of it really is pretty amazing stuff. Let me go, though. Well, maybe I'll go to that right away. The skunk ape in the Everglades. Can we talk about that?
One of the places I visited is in a little town called Ochapee. And when I say little, it's like 10 people, a little dot of a town on the Tamiami Trail, which connects Tampa and Miami, goes right through the middle of the Everglades. So this little outpost in the Everglades is the home of the Skunk Ape Research Headquarters. The skunk ape is this legendary beast that is allegedly 7-8 feet tall, hairy beast, smells terrible. That's why it's called the skunk ape, that roams the Everglades. It eats beans, according to the people who know.
Well, you talked to the man who's seen it three times.
Talked to Dave Sheely, who operates the Skunk Ape Research Headquarters. And when you think research headquarters, you tend to think of a scientific building, you know, perhaps collecting DNA samples or something. It actually looks more like a tiki bar frequented by motorcycle gangs. And the main function of the Skunk Ape Research Headquarters, as far as I can tell, is to sell skunk ape T-shirts. But anyway, Dave Shilley's kind of a character, a true Everglades guy. And he took me around for a day. We never did see the skunk ape, although I did buy a T-shirt.
What is it about the turn signals in Florida? I mean, that requires such attention.
My theory about Florida drivers, and a lot of people think they don't know the law, but my theory is that everyone is driving according to the law of his or her individual country of origin. And in Miami, that means many different things. Some people put on their turn signal first thing in the morning just to make sure it's working. Maybe put it on the night before. Some people never use their turn signals, preferring to just discharge their firearm when they're angry. And the one thing is, we know that if you see a turn signal on a car in Florida, the car is not going to do whatever that signal is indicating. That's pretty much the only certain thing.
It's a kind of Murphy law of sorts. Yeah. I'm talking about
you know what's really terrifying, though? I mean, the most terrifying driving phenomenon is what I call the seeing eye wife system, where there's a lot in South Florida. It's an older couple, and they're driving. The man drives because the man has always driven, but he can no longer see. So he's like, his wife is next to him. And this goes on much more than I know you think I'm kidding, but I'm really not kidding. I've ridden in cars with, she's like, it's a yellow. Oh, it's a yellow arrow. No, it's a red. No, it's a green arrow, Harry. No, left to the.
Any shaving involved?
No, I'm surprised. It's a similar concept, but that goes on all the time. I have a friend who's an ophthalmologist in Miami, and he says, Dave, the people come in here, and I say, how did you get here? And they go, I drove. And he goes, you can't drive because you can't see. And they go, well, how am I supposed to get here?
Again, Dave Berry here with us. Best state ever. A Florida man defends his homeland is the name of his book. And we'll bring listeners into this. In fact, eager to hear some Florida stories from listeners, which I'm sure there are maybe a legion number of. Because what the hell is it about Florida, as the question continues to resound? Talking about discharging firearms, you actually shot a machine gun.
Yeah, there's a place called in Miami called Lock and Load Miami. There are several of these in Florida. I don't know if they have them in other states. But you go in and you pay for a package, and you get to shoot a series of machine guns, which you can't. These are not like automatic. They're not like anything you can buy. These are all illegal weapons. But in this very carefully controlled environment, you can shoot a machine gun at a paper target about 12 feet away. So it's almost impossible not to hit it, although I think I came close. And I got to say, it was very exciting, only it's a little weird because you shoot 25 bullets, based 25 rounds, and this is how long it takes. It's like all that's it, you know. And there's
smoke. They get a little kickback, too.
Oh, man, yeah. So yeah. I came out of there very, you know, I was full of adrenaline when I left there, but I don't ever want to do that again, I don't think.
That's another thing about Florida, though, stand your ground and all that. I mean, I just saw this movie, Hell or High Water, which, by the way, is an excellent movie.
That's what I've been hearing.
That's really good. And
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges is in it, yeah, and plays a very impressive kind of drawling Texas sheriff or Texas Ranger. But there's a lot about guns, you know, as you would associate with Texas. I mean, somebody goes in and rob a bank and all the people there,
everybody
and the bank pulls out a gun, right?
Modern times?
Well, this is Florida, too, in many ways. And the other thing that you note about Florida is, and you're very careful about framing this in terms of, no, I'm not sexist, and no, I'm not misogynistic, but the beautiful women there, I mean, and it's associated kind of with Trump and beauty pageants.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the association.
Well, particularly I live in Miami, which is a very Latin culture. And I think in much of the rest of the country, when a woman gets ready to go to like the grocery store on a Saturday morning, she doesn't get all dressed up to do that. You know, t-shirt, jeans, whatever. In Miami, the Latin women, I know I'm generalizing, but I live there and this is true. They get themselves done to go to the grocery store. They don't go out in, you know, t-shirts and jeans. So yes, I'm going to come right out and say it. There are a lot of attractive women, especially in South Florida where I live. I have a friend. I'm not going to name him, but he's a happily married man. But he came to visit me once when we went to my local supermarket, public supermarket, which happens to be the same supermarket the University of Miami students use. And it was a Saturday morning and they're getting ready for a party. So all these women in there basically wearing, you know, bathing suits, very tiny short. And Ridley, though I gave away his name, Don.
Well, I gave away your spoiler. You did, too.
He goes, is it like this all the time? We're walking. And I go, yeah, it's like this. He goes, I would buy groceries every day. I would say if we needed grapes, I would go buy one grape at a time. Oh, forgot the other grapes. I got to go back. You know, anyway.
Well, you do give Florida props on that score. And many, of course, you had mermaids that you saw in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Wekiwatchee. It's one of the great old tourist attractions called Wekiwatchee, which is a natural spring on the west coast of Florida that has been converted into an underwater theater. They have a big like plexiglass wall, and you sit down there in this theater, and these women wearing mermaid tails swim up from the depths. They breathe through air hoses and perform various underwater feats, including they eat an apple underwater and they drink a beverage underwater. And this was a big deal tourist attraction in the 40s, 50s, 60s. And then along came Disney World, and it kind of wiped out a lot of these tourist attractions. You think about it, you know, hey, kids, we have a choice here. We can go to Space Mountain and the Harry Potter ride, or we can go watch a woman wearing a rubber tail eat an apple underwater. You know? So it's been tough for these attractions. And I really kind of feel for them because they are the heart of the old Florida, the roadside attraction. That one.
They have sponges there too, though.
Oh, they have sponge, that's a different attraction. Spongiorama on the west coast of Florida. Spongiorama, great old. Well, it's kind of a store that sells sponges, but they have a whole exhibit on the sponge. And I had no idea what a sponge was. I thought it was a thing you bought in a grocery store. But it turns out this is an actual animal that lives on the bottom. It has no arms or legs or organs or internal organs or brains.
And can I reveal?
It does have a Florida driver's license.
Can I reveal that Dave Barry actually spent $23 buying the Cadillac of one of the Cadillacs?
I was kind of
sponges?
forced to buy it. Well, it's run by a Greek. It's a Greek thing. The whole Tarpon Springs, the city it's in, it's all Greek. All the sponge fishermen are Greek. And the women who run the Spongiorama are Greek. And they will make you – you will buy a sponge from these women. You go in and you watch their movie and you're not going to leave the store without a sponge. I bought the Cadillac of sponges. It actually came with instructions, $23. I brought it home to my wife. And can you imagine how excited she was?
How did you decide on the places to go? I mean, you even went to Oh, you wound up meeting a medium named Judy at a place.
Casadega.
Casadega, yeah.
The psychic capital of the world.
That's
is in
what
Florida.
They call themselves. Yeah.
Yes. I had a reading done. It's the creepiest little town. It's in north central Florida, kind of off the beaten path. And it's almost entirely psychics and mediums. Pretty much every house you go by has a sign psychic medium. And I was there right before Halloween, which is a creepy time. And I stayed at the Casadega Hotel, which is a very creepy hotel, and had a but this is a strange little community. If you like needed a plumber, it might take you days. But if you need a tarot card reading at 3 o'clock in the morning, help is minutes away. It was an interesting experience.
Well, you were told essentially that you were talking to spirits.
I call her Judy, the medium, connected me with my parents, she said, through this thing called a spirit box, which is this electronic device that goes. It sounds like that. It's collecting, I don't know, it's scanning radio waves. So it emits a bunch of static and different, you know, pieces of radio broadcasts. And you listen to it. And like Judy, the medium, could hear my parents saying things like, I love you. And I'm hearing. She goes, did you hear that? It sounded like I love you. And I go, huh. It was hard to keep a straight face. And it cost $60.
How did you decide, though? I mean, this odyssey of yours, I want to take us to Key West, of course, but, you know, the places you were going to go, yeah.
I asked around, asked friends of mine who were journalists, people who knew Florida and lived there a long time, written books about it. I said, well, you know, what are the most unusual places or the most Florida places you can think of? And I compiled a list, and that's where I ended up going.
And can we talk about Key West, particularly, the clothing optional place?
Yeah. Key West is, I call it Florida's Florida. It is the even by Florida standards, it's weird and debauched. It's way down there at the end of the road, and it's nothing serious ever happens in Key West. It exists just for people to go get hammered and do whatever they want to do in their hand. So Lower Duval Street, which is the heart of the bar area, which is as if it's possible to get a sexually transmitted disease just from breathing, Lower Duval Street would be where that would happen. So I went down there with a friend of mine who owns property down there, who's a lawyer, knows Key West well. And we spent a day just cruising through all the various bars and dives along Lower Duval Street, including a bar that was clothing optional. And you know, it's a cliche, but it's absolutely true. The people that you really don't want to see naked are the people who want you to see them naked. That's definitely the case in this bar, can I say.
It's also the case in San Francisco, by the way, where, you know, they've had some problems with people walking around, some concerns about people walking around naked just in certain neighborhoods. We're talking to Dave Barry. His new book is Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. When you go into bars, you still like to order brewskis? Are you still a beer guy?
I have no beer belly
whatsoever.
I know. I'm on a book tour, and you're not allowed to eat or sleep. So that it's good. I weighed 800 pounds when I started, and I'm down to about 180 now.
Let me invite you, our listeners, to join this conversation, particularly if you have Florida stories. Make them short and cogent, but we'd like to hear them. Or what observations maybe you had in the once called Sunshine State. Now it's like Dave says, Florida, you mentioned Florida, and it's like Kramer coming into the room in Seinfeld. You know, it's supposed to be associated with humor. We'd like to hear from you and hear your thoughts, and any Dave Barry fans, all six of them, may want to call in here. Let us hear from you as well. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. We invite you to join the program. Again, toll-free number 866-733-6786 or email forum at kqed.org or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at kqedforum. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and our guest this hour is Dave Barry. He'll be at Book Passage in Corte Madera today at noon and at Copperfields Books in Napa at 7 o'clock tonight for a talk and a Q&A session and a book signing. In the meantime, he's here to answer any questions you might have or any comments about the state that he is defending, Florida, and also interested to find out maybe some stories some of you have that either dovetail with the notion that this is a state that needs to be defended, or that this is a state where things are pretty weird. Like to hear from you, and our toll-free number is available. It's 866 – it's not available, but let me tell you when a line becomes available. It's 866-733-6786. There are other ways, though. You can join us, email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum. And let me go right to your calls. Let's begin with Bonnie. Bonnie, welcome.
Hi. I have a couple of comments. My mother was a seeing eye driver for 15 or 20 years until she died. And I'm so glad Dave's giving you all these snide remarks and weird comments, because he's not telling my secret places in Florida, which I love, and I don't want to share them with you because we like them less publicized. So good luck to you.
Oh, well, thank you for that call. You think Dave's book is going to get people running out to Gatorland and those places?
Someday you'll meet a few real Floridians who aren't from Miami, which is actually an island in the sea south of Florida. Okay.
Thank you, Bonnie. Actually, one of your speculations is maybe what makes Florida different is it's the peninsula.
Well, yeah, that's one of my theories is why so many people that are kind of strange end up there. And I first want to acknowledge the woman is absolutely right. I mean, there are normal Floridians, the people who are born and raised there, tend not to be the people that are, you know, making
it. You said they're mostly transplants.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And my theory is that if you were to do a scientific experiment where you create, you know, at a crate, rectangular crate with an open top and a little corridor off the bottom right, and you drop rats in there, all the rats would eventually explore the corridor, and the intelligent ones would be able to figure out how to get back out. But the less intelligent or weirder ones would be just stuck down there. I think that's kind of what happens with us because we're a peninsula. A lot of people just go, huh, there's water. What do I do now? You know, then they end up settling down.
There's Robert who writes, you know what I found most charming about Florida? The rustic seashell emporia of Fort Myers area, which take advantage of the cornucopia of shells one encounters on the beaches up and down Florida's west coast. They're spectacular just to walk through. We have nothing like these plywood bin acres of shell retail in California.
They do have these giant shell places. I think those shells don't come from Florida.
They're imported?
I think so. Well, I don't know.
Or
but
manufactured?
You don't see them in the actual water there. You just see them in the store. So I don't know. I'm a little suspicious.
Let's go to more of your calls. And here's somebody who grew up in Florida. George, hi.
Hi.
Go ahead, George.
I grew up in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Florida. I've been out in California most of my life, though. But I just want to start off by saying I'm buying the book.
Oh, thank you.
and wanted to share a story about a mid-60s newspaper article about a police officer stopping a car that was moving erratically down First Avenue South, which is a big one-way street in St. Petersburg, Florida. And it was early Sunday morning, so there was no traffic, but he stopped the car and discovered that the driver was legally blind, and his wife, he wanted to know what it was like to drive, and so his wife was telling him what to do. And in the same newspaper, there was another article about a woman who hit three parked cars, a fire hydrant, and some parking meters, and her speed was estimated at about 60 miles an hour. She said, "I don't understand what happened. I was pressing on the brake as hard as I could."
We have a remarkable number of accidents, and I speak of the Miami area, and I assume it's true of the rest of the state as well. Remarkable number of accidents where cars drive into buildings. I've never lived in a place, and it's always the same thing. They say on the TV news, they say the driver said he thought his foot was on the brake when in fact it was on the accelerator. And I think okay. We've all done that, but how long does it take you to figure that out? I mean, do you have to wait till you're in the salad bar before hey, I'm making a mistake here.
By the way, and thank you, George, for that call. I mentioned that Dave was going to be at Book Passage in Corte Madera today at noon, and Copperfield Books in Napa, 7 tonight. It's not in Napa. It's in Santa Rosa, Montgomery Village Shopping Center. So you don't want people going to Napa thinking they're going to see you.
Although Napa is very nice, but I won't be there. I'll be in Santa Rosa.
Well, here's Mike who writes, "I have to say, whenever I see a news story about a person eating another person's face, I think Florida must be at it again."
It's true. We've had a couple of incidents of that, and I don't think it's happened anywhere else. That's a bath salt thing. I don't know if anybody has bath salts anywhere else. And I don't know if anybody ever bathes in bath salts. But in Florida, they turn people into zombies.
Pretty dangerous to use as a hallucinogen or whatever they're being used for.
When do people think of these things? Like, hey, it might be a good idea to ingest this.
Or to swallow it. Yeah. Karma tweets, "Hi, Dave, from your cousin Karma."
I was going to say,
you have a cousin Karma?
I know Karma. Hi, Karma.
And Karma wants to know, how come you didn't show up me this craziness when I visited you?
Because we were so busy trying to get you through the traffic to where you needed to go that day, Karma. She chose the middle of the Miami boat show to want to – I can't remember where it was we drove her to. But we basically spent her entire time in Miami sitting in traffic, which is not that atypical of life in Miami.
Any of the cars going into buildings that you observed?
No, nobody was going fast enough to go in. The buildings were going faster than we were.
Heather wants to know, did your travels take you to Les and Esther's Piper's Wonder Gardens in Bonita?
No, but that sounds pretty – the Wonder Gardens, huh?
And Jim says, did the mermaids at the Wekiwatchee Springs make it to your Florida list?
Yes. There's a whole chapter on the Wekiwatchee mermaids, who, by the way, are now employees of the state of Florida. Florida State – because
the state owns
– state owned because it was going under. I mean, because, you know, as I said, the problems with – everybody now just goes straight to the Magic Kingdom. Nobody goes to these places anymore. So now my tax dollars are paying for mermaids. But I like that. I'd rather pay for a mermaid than Lieutenant Governor.
What a concept. And we had mentioned the mermaids before. Here's Celia, who writes, Florida is a Republican state of corruption and hate.
Well, it's actually both. It's Republican and Democrat. We're the classic purple state. Nobody knows.
We are very purple.
Nobody knows who we're going to vote for, and then after we vote, nobody knows who we voted for. That's how purple we are down there.
Dave Barry's book again is Best State Ever: A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. And our next caller is Jill. Jill, welcome. Hello, Jill.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, I was down. My mom lives in Naples, Florida, and we were down walking on the beach when my kids were little. And my son said, oh, Mom, there's a hand. And I said, there's no hand on the beach, honey. It probably is like seaweed or something. He's like, no, come here, look at it. So we went over, and sure enough, it was a hand.
Oh, God. Was it attached to a body?
No.
Just a random hand.
So my son was young, and he's like, we've got to call the police. We've got to call the police. So he went home and called the police, and they were so irritated. They're like... They said we get body parts all the time on our beaches. And my son was so upset. He was like, they're not going to do anything. He wanted to wait for the police.
Yeah, call us when you get an entire body, lady. We can't be
and
bothered
other,
for hands.
Oh, my mom called me and I said, how are you doing? She's got, I got two speeding tickets today. One going to the doctor and one on the way back. So, I'd be careful to drive down there.
Yeah.
Well, it gives a whole new meaning to, you know, will you lend a hand or
anyway,
things
but
like
that. Sure,
I want your daughter's hand in marriage. Or,
There's surely a perfectly innocent explanation as to why there was a detached hand on the beach.
Thank you, Jill.
Yeah.
And one never knows who one's going to hear when one brings up Florida. Here's Hal. Hal, welcome.
Yes, a great show. And I was in Key West and Lower Duval Street one evening about 3 in the morning, actually.
A good time to be there.
Yeah, and in comes a fellow with a police uniform on sitting next to me, and it said sheriff on his shoulder, and I started chatting with him, and mentioned that I thought the state law in Florida was that you have the bar should close at 1 o'clock. But I said, here in Key West, the bars are open all night. And he said, yeah. I said, we don't enforce the state law. And I said, what happens if somebody from the state police comes down? He said, well, there's one road in and there's one road out.
They really don't. They're not sticklers about the law in Key West. It's one of the wonderful things about it. They at one point tried to secede from the state of Florida. The Keys did.
Yeah.
They set up a border there. It didn't last very long. There's nothing lasts very long in Key West, but they did try.
There's still a big gay colony down there.
Oh, right? Huge, yeah. The gay community is in a really important part of Key West.
Yeah, and we thank the caller. Here's a listener who writes, I grew up in Naples, and we often traveled across Alligator Alley to Wolfie's on Miami Beach. My sister hated waiting in line for the great Jewish deli food, but the colorful characters in line fascinated me. This used to be one of the great things in Florida.
Alas, Wolfie's is no more, but It was one of the great old Miami places back in the day.
It's where Larry King used to broadcast from.
Yes, exactly right.
And by the way, if you have Florida stories that you want to share, our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or if you'd just like to join us with Dave Barry, you can do that by calling or emailing forum@kqed.org or going to our website, kqed.org/forum. Here's Mark. Mark, welcome.
Oh, hey. thanks for taking my call. I don't think I can beat Jill's story. I got to give her a hand. Anyway, when I was growing up, Florida, it was like the Vegas. I mean, you know, so we'd leave New Orleans and we'd drive to the Destin Beach, and that was where we let our hair down and procreated. And good fun, you know, and then till one night woke up and I must have passed out in front of a bar, and the sheriff reached in my hand, in my pocket, and found some contraband, and I spent the night in jail. And when I asked him for what I had left behind, he just gave me a dirty look and let me go. That's not why I called. But when I was growing up, you know, a difficult childhood, you know, I always wondered if my parents really loved me. I was the last born. I was sure I was a mistake. And oh my gosh. So one day I was crying and my mom was crying, and I asked her, I said, "Mom, was I a mistake?" And she looked at me and she said, "Oh, honey, no, of course you weren't a mistake. In fact, I can remember where you were conceived." And I said, "Well, where was that, Mom?" She said, "Destin Beach, Florida." Oh, okay, that's good to know.
I wonder if there was a hand nearby.
Oh, well, yeah. Mark, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for lending a hand with your call. We appreciate that, too. Dave Barry's book, by the way, is Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. And we'll take some more calls here in just a moment. What is it about dead people playing shuffleboard? And I mean, make a few references to dead people.
Well, the image of Florida has long been, and prior to the kind of wild Florida man image, our previous image was kind of sleepy, dopey state, you know, deceased people playing shuffleboard. And there are a lot of retired people there. I actually, in the book, visited the largest retirement community in Florida, one of the biggest in the country. It's called The Villages. And it's this huge kind of brand new, well, 20 years old, constantly growing city in the middle of the state, all retirees. And they get around in golf carts. There are 60,000 golf carts in the Villages. And there had been all these articles about sex going on up there and orgies and STDs being transmitted among senior citizens. These were all written by, I think, younger journalists who just could not conceive of the idea of older people having sex. But I went up there. I spent a few days there, and I never saw anybody having sex. Maybe they are having sex. They just didn't do it in front of me. What I saw a lot of was line dancing. There's a tremendous amount of line dancing. If you want to see senior citizens line dancing, you go to the Villages.
Here's Kevin who tweets, "I was stationed in the United States Air Force in Fort Walton. It had some of the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen, and spring break was awesome." And Rick wants to know, you have National Public Radio audience. You get serious questions, too, and more than just stories. How about some comment on Governor Rick Scott?
I don't know how he got elected governor. Yeah, first of all, and I, you know, I shouldn't judge a person, I guess, on this, but he looks like a giant insect. Have you ever seen him? He's like
strange looking man.
He's a very strange looking man. And I don't know anybody who likes him. But this is kind of the nature of Florida politics. You tend to end up with candidates who are so weak that, you know, the least weak one tends to win. And he ran against, Charlie Crist.
That's right.
And yeah. Charlie Crist is, you know, one day he's a Republican, one day he's a Democrat. He's always very orange. That's the only kind of consistent thing about him. So that's how we ended up with Rick Scott. And again, I don't think anybody likes Rick Scott, but he is our governor, and we can't really figure out why.
More of our callers, and let's go next to caller in San Francisco. John, you're on.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, Dave Barry, I was a stationed in the Marine Corps in Jacksonville in the late 50s, early 60s. And my oldest daughter, she lives in Orlando, and she loves it down there. I hate it. I couldn't wait to get off and get back to San Francisco. But what I wanted to ask you was, in the year 2000, the lady that fixed the election for George Bush Jr., what happened to her?
Catherine Harris. She kind of had a brief try at being,
she ran for
Senate.
Yeah.
But didn't do well and has sort of disappeared from the radar. I don't know where she is now. Catherine,
how did the local population, how did they handle that 30,000 votes that were never counted, the black votes?
The the best I can answer you is the Miami Herald and a bunch of other newspapers did their absolute best to recount that election and concluded in the end that either Bush did in fact win or it was close enough, you know, that it would be almost impossible to determine otherwise. So I don't think in the state of Florida there's this big feeling of there was a conspiracy, more of a feeling that there was just a lot of incompetence.
But if a missing report has been filed for Catherine Harris, there's no counting on the gendarmes to go looking for her in Florida. No,
that may have been her hand for all we know. I don't know.
I'll give you a hand for your book again, and let's mention it. It's Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland by Dave Barry, and another caller, and that's Nicholas. Morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm from Tallahassee originally and living in California 30 years. I go back often, and one time I went back and was looking through a book of state parks in Florida. There are a lot of beautiful state parks, and one of them mentioned the waterfall west of Tallahassee, so a bunch of us were excited. We got in a car and drove about an hour or so west of Tallahassee to some state park, and we got there, and we said, well, so how's the waterfall? And she said, yeah, there's some water. And I said, well, where is it? So we drove into the woods, and there's a sign for the waterfall, and it was a stream that dumped into a hole in the ground.
Hey, the water did fall, correct?
It did fall, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't – I don't – I think you might have just checked the geography book ahead of time. Notice, like, the highest point in Florida is like 12 feet or something. It's like,
a little higher than that. Tallahassee has 100 or something feet. We're the high point there with the hills. Another anecdote is I got tons of them, but we were going down to the coast for a meal on the rivers there, and it was getting dusk. You know, before we got out of the car, we noticed that the owner of the restaurant, who was coming out of the restaurant, was like spraying his head with a can of Raid.
Maybe
and I was like, he can't be doing that. And then I got out of the car, and I was instantly attacked by just millions of mosquitoes. And so to avoid them coming in the car, I sort of ran the wrong direction quickly, then changed my direction and jumped in the car, and we took off. But
Nicholas, I should give the number, because Dave does all this statistical research, and he says Florida is the home to 167 trillion mosquitoes.
That's correct. That's the current count. And they all have valid driver's licenses.
Yeah, let's hope they don't all have Zika. But let me thank the caller. Get to more of your calls and emails in just a moment. But talk a little bit about – I have friends in Tampa, and they always Californians do the same thing. They say Northern Californians, Southern Californians, there's a Rubicon, there's a demarcation, never the twain. They're totally different cultures and everything. They say the same about Florida.
Florida is – there is no state of Florida. The woman who called in and said Miami is an island, she's absolutely correct. I mean – Miami, where I live, is Latin America. You hear mainly Spanish down there. If you
mostly
want.
Cuba too.
Yeah. Actually, it's all the Cubans aren't even the majority Latin population now in Miami. But you could live your life, and I know people who do, and never speak any English in Miami, and you'd be fine. It's absolutely
same thing in San Francisco in the Mission District or in Chinatown, Chinese.
Yeah. So that's Miami. But if you go up the road to like Boca, and you're basically in Long Island, you go across the state. You go through the Everglades, which is its whole own world, and then you end up in, Naples and that area, which is mainly, Michigan and Ohio retirees. So it's very Midwestern. Orlando is everything. It's, people from all over the place. North Florida is the South. It's Alabama. It's Georgia. So there is no feeling of state unity about the state of Florida, and that's one of the things. So when people mock Florida, we tend not to get defensive about it. We tend to go, yeah, you're right.
Well, ironically, I think we've got a caller on point here. James, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was about to say the same thing, where I've been to Florida a handful of times and always consider it to be either South New York, which I include Jersey because everyone I know from New Jersey only talks about what they do in New York,
yeah.
North Miami, or the Deep South. It's just kind of this weird marriage of people who normally shouldn't coexist, but somehow I don't know if they make it work or if it's just they do it because they have no choice.
That's exactly right. And our state government is close to dysfunctional because of that, because the people in the northern part of the state have absolutely no connection with the people in the southern part of the state. They don't even, nobody likes, neither side likes the other. So we don't tend to work together for the betterment of the state.
Let me thank the caller. And if somebody wants to know, Ann wants to know, is there a large tennis culture in Florida? And if so, could you elaborate on it?
Well, my wife is a tennis writer for the Miami Herald, so that's the basis of my knowledge of it. We have a major tennis tournament in Miami, the Sony Open, which is like called the fifth major. And there's a fairly active tennis community, considering that it's kind of a minor sport in most of the country. And a lot of professionals live in Miami or Fort Lauderdale. So there's sort of a tennis culture there.
Coming up, an announcement here. Do you think Trump is going to win his home state like he did in the Republican primary?
I'd be surprised if he wins Florida. I really would. But, you know, this election has been so weird that I'd be a fool to predict.
Forum, by the way, is what you are listening to here. We're talking to Dave Barry, and his new book is out, and it's called Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And we'll go to another caller here, and that's Michael from Oakland. Welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going.
Great. Yeah, so I have a story that my mom told me from when she was an x-ray student in the 80s in Daytona Beach. She met this guy at a bar. They hit it off, and she told her about her exams, et cetera. And he invited her to a service at his quote-unquote church in Casadega because he was famous. And so she says, okay, you know.
Just to clarify, Casadega is the spiritualist community I was talking about, where everybody's a medium or a psychic.
The psychic capital of the world itself.
Sorry, just wanted to make sure everybody understood. Go ahead.
Sure. And so he picks her up the next day. He's driving a motorcycle with a massive cow skull on the front and a sidecar that is a coffin. So she hops in the coffin. He takes her out to the service. Service is going fine, you know. And all of a sudden, the priestess singles out my mom and says, there's like a lot of energy coming from you. You're going to take a big exam next week of some kind, some test, and you'll pass it. And so I can't believe like that person was right. And then quickly she realizes, oh, like they were in on it together. And they were just trying to win one more person over to the great cause of Satan. And she never saw him again. Anyway,
how dare you suggest that there was anything untoward about the spiritualist community of Casadega?
You know what? Maybe you're right. Yeah, I might have to go back down there and join.
Well, we thank you for the story, Michael. It's good to hear that and all these other stories. I'm wondering, do you think you would have this rather inimitable sense of humor that you have, an ability to create great humor, if you lived in another state like Idaho, which I know you like?
I love Idaho. You know, not as much funny stuff happening in Idaho. I guess that I mean, I wrote humor before I moved to Florida, but it makes it easier when you're sitting on the mother load of weirdness. And
the material is all there.
It's just, it's like fish in a barrel. If you wanted, you could just write nothing but stories about Florida, which is some people do, and you would never run out of material.
Let me read a comment, which is kind of interesting, from David, who says, I moved to Miami from Colombia, and it's interesting to learn that Americans have a different perspective of Florida compared to Latinos. In Colombia, we view Miami as the place to go to or to live, and living there means you've made it.
Yeah. There's a large Colombian, Argentinian, Venezuelan. As I say, people think it's just Cubans, but it's all Latin America, and there are a lot of, I would have to say most of my friends, most of my daughter's friends are Latin Americans, some from Cuba, but many, many from other countries.
But the reception is largely Cuba. In fact, I'm looking at another listener who says, Danny says, remember the Bugs Bunny cartoon where you sawed off Florida and yelled, take it away, Cuba? I can't say that I don't remember that. But and here's Craig, who says, one of my favorite columns of Dave Barry's was about how SUVs keep getting bigger and cell phones smaller. He introduced the Chevy Subdivision, the first SUV that can be seen from space. I wonder how Barry would rewrite that column now that SUVs are getting smaller and cell phones are gigantic.
Yeah, I know. It's turned around. And they're also catching fire, the cell phones. I've been flying last few days because I'm on a book tour, and they make this big announcement now. They didn't used to make it. If you have a Samsung Galaxy Note, do not turn it on. Do not plug it in. Basically, they say, we don't want it on this airplane. It's unnerving a little bit.
And here's Bruce, who writes, I was amused by the chickens pecking around on the grass in front of a Kentucky Fried Chicken in Key West.
The Key West has a very large feral chicken population. And because it's Key West, they tried to get rid of it. They hired a guy, a city employee, whose whole job was to capture the chickens and release them humanely. But even that was unacceptable in Key West, where nothing is illegal. So the chickens basically won. They dominate. You hear them when you wake up in the morning with your hangover, which is how you wake up in Key West. It's the sound of, you know, all over the place.
This is called chicken hegemony, by the way, in case you, sounds you make. You got that bar that you went to. You got all that boom, 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 boom.
Oh,
you
know, I went to Live.
Transcribe it into text.
I went to Live Nightclub, L-I-V, which is in the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami. And it's the hot nightclub on Miami Beach. And it's impossible to get in if you're not an extremely attractive 20-something. You know, the only reason I got in was by pulling strings. If I tried to do it by standing in, you know, line with everybody else until the bouncer admitted me, I would, you know, my corpse would end up, you know, my skeleton would be lying on the floor, still looking hopefully in the direction of the bouncer years from now. But I got in there and kind of regretted it. it's a DJ playing, it's called electronic dance music. And I'm not going to say it's bad, Michael, but it's horrible. I know that makes me sound old, but it's the most horrible, you know, brain-numbing music ever. And you sit in there and listen to that and buy expensive drinks.
Well, on the other hand, read the book because it is a lot of fun. Had me crying a couple times. Best state ever. A Florida man defends his homeland. Not crying in pain, by the way. Crying out of humor. Dave Barry, one of our great humorists, and he'll be in Corte Madera Book Passage at noon today at Montgomery Village Shopping Center in Santa Rosa, 7 p.m. tonight for a Q&A session and book signing. We thank you for joining us for this morning's forum, and for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.